Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Wills. Sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and be prepared to hear information that may change your life forever.
Welcome to the mystery and magic of Channel U Network. Do you know that things aren't as they seem? Are you conscious of their attempted mind control scheme? Are you seeking others to create a team? Are you thirsty to think from a really clear stream? That's why you are here at Channel U. From the mysteries of outer space to spiritual healing, from the depths of the ocean to the heavenly ceiling, to the dreams that reveal your innermost feeling, close your eyes, breathe deeply. We are connected to Channel U.
From the deserts of the great Southwest, you're listening to Jerry Wills, Horizon to Horizon on Channel U, Internet Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Wills. I've been putting together some information for this show that I think is going to be quite valuable for everyone listening. It basically is going to address several different topics, everything from a secret world government to parasites that are out there that you're not familiar with, that you've never heard of, and the reason is because it would cause a great deal of public concern and panic. Why this information isn't being provided to the public so something can be done is beyond me. The first piece of information that I'm going to tell you about has to do with something called a spirochete. A spirochete is a small parasite. It's very small, and it's responsible for something called Lyme disease. If you do some research on the word, go look up Lyme disease, you're going to see information about spirochetes. What these things are is beyond anyone's understanding. It's been theorized they've been on the Earth for a very long time. They may even be responsible for deaths as far back as human civilization has existed, indeed even animal civilizations. No one's really sure where they came from, what they are, what the deal is about these guys. They are extraordinarily small. They live inside of ticks, but they can also be transmitted to humans from fleas, from mosquitoes, or any biting insect. That's bad enough when you consider the fact that we've all had mosquito bites, we've had chiggers, we've maybe even had a flea bite, and then some of you may have had a tick bite before, I don't know, but I know that there are those who have. The other issue with this, however, is not just from being bit by an insect. This is where it gets really scary, really complicated, and it just makes you sit back and go, oh my God. You realize that your dog or your cat or whatever pet you might have has been out there in the front lines, so to speak, wandering through the grass. Well, I mean, we have flea collars. We have dogs who've had ticks. The spirochetes get in them, into the dogs, the cats, your punk, whatever it is you may have for a pet. These things get bit, and they get a dose of spirochetes in them. Now, spirochetes are not just transmitted as a result of an insect bite. They're also in the saliva of the animal. How many times have you seen someone be licked by a dog or be licked by a cat? And this person, maybe it's you, didn't immediately go and wash your hands and get it off of you. Instead, it just sat there. These things are very sophisticated, these spirochetes. They're very sophisticated. They have built-in defenses, and they are so resilient that nothing touches them. That's why they're so hard to defeat. They're on the surface of your skin. Next issue, maybe you rub your eyes Or maybe you put your finger in your mouth to bite your fingernails. Or maybe the dog licked you on the lips and you didn't go wash it off immediately with soap and water. Immediately with soap and water. Now, they're in you. That's something to think about, folks. But what do they do? I'm sure you're wondering. What do these things do? Well, first of all, let me tell you that the spirochete adapts itself to its host. It has a skin, let's say, like we're familiar with what skin is. So it has a skin that mimics other cells of the body so that antibodies do not recognize that there's a foreign invader. Instead, they have complete availability to every part of your body, and they just go through, and of course, what do they want to do? Reproduce. And they just keep reproducing year after year after year, tens of millions of billions. They're so small that you wouldn't know it anyway. But they're in there. Now, these things are living, and they give off, just like we do, they give off a substance as a part of their digestive process. They're eating up part of you on the inside, little bits of protein, little bits of dead cells and whatnot, and they're giving off a waste. And this waste, from what I've read, is the most toxic substance that can be in the human body. There is nothing more toxic than this. None. After a while, they go to sleep. And that's where the real danger begins. Because they're not overly aggressive. They're not really reproducing like gangbusters. They're just going through their day-to-day life cycle and just existing in your body, trying to find a bit of a balance. Where the problem comes in is stress. And I've seen this in hundreds of people who've had 100 different diseases or variations of diseases. When a person gets extraordinarily whacked out, stressed out of their mind, how many times have you seen someone who got very, very stressed out? And you know what we're talking about. It's not getting pulled over for a traffic ticket, but we're talking about things like a death or violence or a rock's about to fall on you and you think you're going to die and you don't. That kind of stress that feels life-threatening in one way or another. Maybe it's not going to take your life, but it's going to change it. That kind of stress where you're completely, completely consumed with anxiety. What happens when you're completely consumed with anxiety is that your hormonal system changes, everything in your body changes. We've all heard that people can die of stress because of what it does, how it affects the heart, the circulation, the entire human condition. The spirochetes apparently are triggered by something that's in our system when stress occurs and goes on for a duration. It doesn't have to be a long duration either. A lot of the folks I see had nothing wrong with them, nothing, until a stressful situation occurred. And then they had some illness. They had something wrong. I'm sure, listening, know of someone who had some stressful situation in their life, and the next thing you know, within a year, they've got something wrong with them. Maybe they have arthritis. Maybe they have cancer. Maybe they have, you know, fill in the blanks. But you know what I'm talking about. They've had a stressful situation, and now suddenly their life has taken a turn because they're ill. Now they're going to the doctor, and the doctor takes a look at, let's say that it is cancer. The doctor takes a look and says, well, we need to cut off your breast, or we have to cut off this, or cut off that, or cut it out, or treat you with chemotherapy. And the next thing you know, the person's even sicker yet. Maybe they survive, maybe they don't. The congestion, in my view, is a symptom of something else that took hold of that person's body. That may not be true in every case, but it is certainly true in many of the cases that I've seen. The people who have come through here, it certainly is true of many of them. And because it's true of many of them, that's why I'm trying to bring it to your attention, because it could be true for you too, maybe not now, but it could be something true for you in the future, or perhaps someone that you care about. Over a period of time of getting, let's say, chemotherapy, how stressful is that? And how does that weaken the condition of the human body? It weakens it quite a bit. Not only are you stressed because you're getting this kind of therapy, but you're also stressed because it's a life-threatening situation. You don't know if you're going to live or die and what your life is going to be like afterwards. You are stressed. And guess what? These things come back with a vengeance, and they start doing their nefarious little dealings again inside your body. How many people do you know that have had something else show up after they've had treatment for one of these diseases? Or the disease just gets worse, and the doctors are throwing things at it, trying to do something. They're practicing medicine, and it's not that there's something wrong with that, but I think there's something wrong with not doing something about the cause. Only now is the information becoming available and being looked at by the medical community, but not by the entire medical community, only by some of it. And it's because these things couldn't be seen. There was no test for this. You cannot test for something that is not a part of the human body if it mimics a part of the human body. There's no antigens being created to fight against it. It has free rein. It wasn't until just recently that a gal who had Lyme disease started a clinic in Florida. It's called the Bowen Institute, B-O-W-E-N, Bowen Institute. She wanted to find out what the hell's going on with my body. She knew she had the classic symptoms of Lyme disease. Being well educated in medicine, she set out to create a test, some way of identifying this, because up to this point there was no way to identify this. And she succeeded eventually in creating a test, but the test can only be used for experimental purposes because the good old boys at the AMA basically didn't believe there was anything there, so why should they endorse it? And besides, if you don't pay them enough money, they're not going to endorse something anyway. So the next thing you know, she comes up with a test that is a fluorescent dye test, and it shows what the spirochete load is in a given volume of blood. And this, to her and to me and to others who have looked at it, suggests what the likelihood is that you have spirochetes in your system. This test, and I've seen the pictures, the photographic evidence that they send out with the different blood tests that are that I've sent in for different folks who have come through here, and I can see very clearly the spirochete. It isn't as though it's something vague and hard to identify. It's absolutely right there. You can see it. They provide you a nice little graph that says, on a scale of, and it isn't done this way, but so I can relate it to you metaphorically, on a scale of 1 to 10, here's where you are, 30%, 80%, 100%, you know, that sort of thing. I've had one gal who came in here with multiple sclerosis. Now, understand that with my gift, with my ability to see inside the human body, I can see things, but sometimes I don't know what I'm looking at. It's not like I have a huge directory of information available to me. I just see things. And I saw these things in her blood, and I was looking for them specifically as a result of the information I had been presented by someone else that I should take a look at what spirochetes are doing to the body. And personally, I thought that it was maybe just a lot of fluff. Maybe there wasn't anything to it, because I'd never heard of it before. Why would I give it that much credibility? It was research, so I wanted to read it, and I did. I looked inside of this woman, and sure enough, I saw quite a heavy viral load of, not viral, but parasitic load of spirochetes. So I suggested that she get a blood test and send it to the Bowen Institute. This gal has multiple sclerosis, MS. Being treated, being given different drugs, things to treat the symptoms, because no one knows what causes it, really. They just know what it does, and so they try to treat the symptoms, as is the case with many different illnesses. She got the tests back. Actually, I got the tests back, and then I forwarded them to her. With all the research data that I had accumulated, I said, here, you need to read this and this, and look at these pictures. You come to your own conclusion. See what you think. Because I'm not in the business of making a diagnosis. I can't. I didn't join that private club, the AMA. I didn't go to college for years and become a doctor. So I can't make a diagnosis. I just said, here, look at this. Come to your own conclusions. Here's the number of a friend of mine who is a doctor that you can talk to. His name is Dr. Tom Lee. He's a naturopathic doctor. Just excellent doctor. Now, she took a look at the information, and we consulted, and from the details of the information, there were pieces of research that suggested that there were a couple of things that would help. She started using the things, and I'll tell you what they are. Number one is something called Samento, S-A-M-E-N-T-O. We carry it here. You can buy it off the internet. It's available out there. It's a rather exotic thing, but it's out there. You can find it if you look for it. Look at Samento.com. That's a good place to start. I've spoken with these folks. Samento is cat's claw. It's just cat's claw, but not just cat's claw. It is cat's claw of one specific genetic variety of cat's claw. And it seems to go after spirochetes with a vengeance and destroy them. So much so, in fact, you have to use very small amounts of this material, of this substance, and it's in a liquid form. Very small amounts of this, because you don't want to kill them off too fast. You would absolutely toxin yourself into being sick as a dog. So you use a drop, and then a couple of drops, and so forth. I've had folks who have been using it for a while, bumped up to 10 drops from 5, they got deathly ill. It's because you're killing off too many of the spirochetes. This is something that has to be done very slowly, not within a week or two. This is a plan that's a 2 or 3 year plan, in my opinion, from what I've seen so far. And it's not cheap. I think a bottle of Samento is like $50. In round numbers, and you use a bottle maybe once, to start off with, probably once every couple months, but then as you get further into it, maybe it'll last you a month. But let me tell you that there are now, from the research I've read, and I'm not speaking from my own personal experience, just from the experience of researchers who are looking into this, there are 300 to 400, maybe 500 different diseases that are caused by the spirochetes. Everything from lupus to diabetes to cancers to MS to Lou Gehrig's disease, on and on and on. I mean, we're talking 300 to 500 or maybe more different classified illnesses that are caused by the presence of spirochetes and how they influence that particular person's body. And it manifests as, and then fill in the blank. In this particular gal's case, it manifested as MS. This gal grew up in the country, and she had gotten tick bites. She didn't have any symptoms at all. She got a tick bite when she was in her teens. Here she is, 40-something, late 40s. She had an extraordinarily stressful event in her life. And the next thing you know, she came down with MS. Why don't we know more about this? And what is going on? Good question. I think that the reason we don't know more about this is because we weren't supposed to find out. Now, let's suppose for a moment, and I'm going to go off onto a tangent here, so if you don't want to go this direction, then choose your own direction and go in it. I'm going in a direction based upon what I know and theorizing based on that information that has to do with ancient civilizations and UFOs and, you know, all that. Maybe some will say, conspiracy theorist, I don't know. Doesn't matter what you say. If you want to listen, stay tuned. I'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Channel U.
Sideband.
Now, hey, Tim, ain't your brother been saying that the U.S. Constitution's the law of the land?
You read that the other day.
Well, then that would mean that that's more important than the U.N. Charter now, wouldn't it?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be the law of the land if it wasn't more important.
I heard an attorney the other day say I should ask for probable cause if a cop ever pulls me over. Is that requesting authority for a stop?
And you know how worried I've been about the earth all coming to an end like the Bible said.
Well, according to this FBI flyer, we're all terrorists. Now I better call right now and turn ourselves in.
Do you feel passionately about animal rights? Are you violently opposed to eco-terrorism? Do you hate abortion? Have you ever gotten into a website and you're not quite sure how? Do you sit alone in your room? Then you or your neighbor should turn you in right away to the local FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force. Do it today.
Are you interested in forbidden archaeology? If so, after this program, visit Expeditions Magazine, where new light is shed on the forgotten past.
All right, everyone, we're back. Now, what I was saying before is that I was going to go off on a bit of a tangent, but I just want you to think about what I'm saying. If you're listening to this program, chances are you're interested in things like ancient archaeology, the hidden past, you know, things that have been kept from us. And why? I don't know. Maybe because we just weren't to be trusted with it. You know, we've already found out for ourselves that there are things that are out there that if we could bring it to the public, that it would certainly rewrite the history books. Maybe this is part of it. I want to take you back in time to the Renaissance Age. I think it was the Renaissance Age. It's back in Europe, just that age prior to when the bubonic plague came about. And as you may remember from what you've read or heard, the bubonic plague consumed hundreds of thousands of lives. A lot of people died. What you may not know is that as a result of that, there was this figure called the Grim Reaper that became an icon. And whenever you see anything about the Grim Reaper, it always represents death. But where did that image come from? Did someone just make it up? Is it supposed to be like a monk? I mean, what is the Grim Reaper? We've had privileged information that may really shake you up. I don't have it sitting here in front of me, I can't recite anything except from memory. But if you're interested, I will make an effort to find this information and provide it up on our website so that you can read it. Or I can just email it to you, whatever. It's going to take a little bit of doing. We've lost a lot of our research notes in a computer hard drive that failed. That's why I don't have it here directly in front of me. Actually, Kathy, my wife, is the one who did the research on this and came up with these details. And I was astonished when I saw it. There's another man who knows about this. His name is Robert Stanley, the editor of Unicus Magazine, and that's at unicusmagazine.com. You can go and send him an email. Ask him if he knows where this information is as well. If you haven't checked out Unicus Magazine, I suggest you do it. It's very good. Now, what I'm talking about is the Grim Reaper. I want to imagine a chemical suit and how that would be viewed by people during this age. There is a chemical suit, there are goggles, and there's a breathing apparatus. It has been reported, and pictures drawn, and stories told, that before the bubonic plague ever showed up in a village, that there were several of these figures, like the Grim Reaper, who were wandering through the wheat fields, and they had this rod, this pole that was going down into the grain, sweeping it back and forth, and there were clouds. There was like, we would call it a gas, but they called it like dust or clouds that were coming out of this. They would show up late in the night, they would work into the night, and people were deathly afraid of this. They had never seen anything like this before. The next thing you know, the people of the village had the bubonic plague. Now, how is that possible? What was going on? In the best estimation that I have, these were individuals who somehow, and I don't know how, I don't know who, but they were out there seeding the ground with the raw bubonic plague virus. It was getting on the fleas, getting on the rats, it was going into the houses, biting the people, not the rats, but the fleas, and the bubonic plague was being transferred to the people, and they were dying. This just coincidentally happened right at a point in time when Europe was about to burst forward with all of this technology and art. It was beginning to look like a really good world, and suddenly it's all cast to hell. And a living hell was. Carts going through the street, bring us your dead. People dying. People holed up in their houses, or if they had the plague, they were sealed up in their houses, and then their houses were burned once they had died. They were left there to starve and die. It was a terrible time, folks. And I believe that it was something that was done to the people. It wasn't natural. It wasn't natural. Who did it? I don't know. It could be anything from a highly advanced civilization visiting this planet, but why would they want to kill us? Well, if Europe is about to burst forward and they're using this planet as a place where they harvest people from, and there's been evidence of that too, even in our contemporary times, they wouldn't want people to reach a certain pinnacle of awareness or ability because they would be found out. They couldn't move around freely. They couldn't do the things they're doing. Maybe they were time travelers. And I know, time travel, oh, that's kind of goofy. It isn't. It isn't. Time travel is certainly possible. We just don't know how to do it. Imagine in the 1800s, if I had a CB radio and I was calling to someone 5 miles or 20 miles away. What if I showed them an iPod or a portable DVD player with a movie? We just don't know how time travel works. That's all. Or maybe there's an element on our world that does, and we're not privileged to that information. I don't know. But the point I'm making is that the bubonic plague that swept across Europe was something that was put there in place and done on purpose by someone from somewhere, whether it's this world or another. And it doesn't matter where they came from at this point, it was done to people, and millions of people died. Now I want to back even further. Let's go back and take a look at biblical references for a second. Who, back in time, not who really, but how many people have you heard of that lived back in time that lived 800 years, 600 years, and so forth? Now, how is that possible? And what about the gods? The gods didn't die. They didn't get old. Now, I'm talking about God with a capital G. I'm talking about the gods with a small g. They had immortality. It's written about in several different places in the world, not just the Bible. It's written about in the Vedics from the Far East. It's written about in many places. These folks lived a long, long life. And in the case of Moses, he never died. He just went straight to heaven. Well, we don't know what the truth of that is. We can only believe what we've been told to believe, which is the case with everything about our life right now. We can only believe what we've been told to believe. And it seems like we've been told to believe something that is a lie on many fronts, not just about the ancient past, but also about our own condition called life in our body. I believe that spirochetes have been around for a very long time. I think maybe, just maybe, what's going on this planet is that this world has been used and used and used, not for its natural resources like gold, although I'm sure that must have been a part of the problem in the ancient past, where they needed gold, and for whatever reason, who knows, there's all kinds of speculation, but instead the natural resources being the people who are here. There are references from the Sumerians that suggest that humankind was created to do the work of the gods. If that's the case, wouldn't it be really a big problem if people had the opportunity to live for several hundred years? I think in several hundred years you might be able to figure out that there's something that's going on that is not what it appears to be. So I believe that spirochetes were introduced to this planet. Genetically modified parasites that were introduced that find a host in our body. We can't find them. We can't tell they're there, but they are. And the lifespan, though it's better today than it was, say, in the 1800s, but if you travel back further in time, people were living 70 years old, 80 years old. Good nutrition, good lifestyle, eating right, and so forth. You're looking at anywhere from 70 to 100 years old, but by the time you get to 70, between 70 and 100, you're not as viable as you were when you were 20 or 30. Especially if you find out something's wrong, you just don't have the ability to do something about it. You're just kind of at the end of things. You're weak. You're not mentally as sharp. And in our society, especially here in the United States, when you get old, you're not listened to. Instead, you're kind of pushed off to the side because we're young and we're smart and we've got it figured out. So I know, it's easy, you can be confused, but trust me, it's not exactly like that in other societies, but that seems to be a rather common state of affairs in many societies that I've seen in the world travels. So now you've got a situation where a person is being predisposed to living 70 years old on an average. Ladies, you have an advantage over the men. You might live to be 80 or 85. We both know what the details are of age, or life expectancy of age, from what we've been told. So we pretty much accept that. Now, if these have been introduced to keep us from getting past a certain age, it is a brilliant plan. It is very effective because it keeps us from reaching an age with a state of power within our being where we can stand up and say, you know what, there's something wrong here, and I think I figured out what to do about it. But instead, we don't last that long. This has been put into the human condition from a very long time ago. And some recent research that I've read suggests that these spirochetes actually have been improved upon. They were improved upon during the middle of the 20th century. They were bugged to be used during wartime. Now, how do you suppose the United States government goes about testing if this works or not? They certainly aren't going to go to another country and dump it on them, because that would be an act of war. Instead, they use these things on the American people here. Now, I know, you're probably going, oh, right. I used to say the same thing. Or there are some of you who know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you that I have seen it in the congressional record. I've seen it, I read it, and I was absolutely sickened by it. And it doesn't take a lot to uncover this information. I'm sure that you listening are familiar with how they tainted some milk with radioactivity and gave it I'm trying to get my facts right here, again by memory, but it seems like I read that they gave this milk to kids. You know that they put blankets on the Indian reservations that had smallpox. That's all a matter of history. And black men in the South who thought they were being treated for one thing, we're actually being given different venereal diseases that had been modified. College kids were given acid during the 60s, and they didn't know that they were being given acid, and then being watched to see what it does. Timothy Leary was one of those that was involved in the research, and I've met at least one of the men who was responsible for making it. I talked to him. He told me about it. And I've read about it. In the congressional record, I read, and this is a book from Congress. This is not something someone has printed up. I read in the congressional record how the United States dumped Valley Fever on a group of men and women who were at a conference in Scottsdale, Arizona, and how they came down with Valley Fever. And this was a report being given to Congress. What's this all about? If they're doing that, and we have an infestation of spirochetes, I leave it to you to draw your own conclusions on what is going on and who is responsible. But is it really the United States government? Or is it still the same people who wandered through wheat fields of Europe spraying bubonic plague to knock down civilization and put that part of the world that was the shining part of the world where civilization and technology had reached a point where music, art and science were becoming profound. Discoveries were being made, knocking down into the Dark Ages, and everyone kind of gets a chance to start over again. I don't know. I don't know who's doing it. All I can tell you is what I've read, what I've seen, and what I suspect. I leave it to you to make your own decisions on this. Some of you will say that it's the bad guys in the UFOs. Some of you will believe it's a secret shadow world government. Maybe they're one and the same. I don't know. But it does concern me, because I'm seeing more and more people with problems. Let's take another example. MSG, monosodium glutamate. If you look that up on the Merck Index is how the government classifies drugs. It tells you what they are, what the side effects are, how it's classified, and so forth. It gives you a lot of information. Kathy researches this a lot. Monosodium glutamate is a drug. It's not a food additive. Don't take my word for it. Feed your mind. Go look it up for yourself and come to your own conclusions. It is a drug. It is the world's most powerful neurotoxin. There is no neurotoxin as bad as this stuff is. Small amounts. Well, large amounts would certainly do you in. They give you a heart attack. It shut down your organs. Ever eaten Chinese and then a while later you felt your heart beating out of your chest and you felt all jittery and nervous? It's because you just put a lot of neurotoxin into your body, and of course it's an excitotoxin and a neurotoxin both. What that means is a neurotoxin, of course, it kills nerve tissues. Excitotoxin means that it excites nerve tissue to the point of destruction, to the point of death. That's MSG. And just since you're wondering, because you're not using anything with MSG, let me fill you in on a little secret. It's in your soap. It's in soap, it's in face, it's in shampoo. Along with other things like antifreeze and engine degreasers that just get absorbed into your skin. Why is it being allowed to be put in there? And if that wasn't bad enough, I mean, let's take a look at coal tar dyes. Now, I know I'm getting off the subject of spirochetes, but it all will tie together in just a moment. Coal tar dyes, the world's most powerful mutagenic substance, it will cause cancer, period. It will. Enough of it, and you're going to die. It's in M&Ms, along with MSG. It's peanut M&Ms. The peanuts have been soaked with MSG. You're eating nuts, they've been salted with MSG. You can take a piece of raw meat that's been rotten and prepare it with MSG, and you'll never know it. You can eat that. It may make you sick, but it's going to taste damn good. That's what MSG does. And you're using MSG to get you to link good flavor with their products, so they use it in varying degrees along with other things. What does this do if your body is already taxed by the spirochetes? How is this going to react on you? Think about it for just a moment. I think you can come to a very quick conclusion that if you already have something going on inside of you that is going to be spontaneously turned on by an aggravation, by an intense situation, and you put MSG into your body, that intense situation just went off the boards. Not only that, but what MSG does in destroying the body, and what the spirochetes do in destroying the body, they kind of work hand in hand. Because the people that I see who have had some serious illness as a result of stress had their stress compounded by the foods they were eating. Because let's face it, you're under stress, you're not eating much. Grab a bag of chips. Get something fast to go on the road. Eating very little. If MSG, and not if, but because it does, MSG creates an extremely stressful situation in the body where the heart's beating faster, your nerves feel all jangled, and you're just sort of like, just kind of buzzing. This is the same environment that turns on the spirochetes. Why is it being put into our food and into our personal care products? We live in a society that doesn't allow for us to live on farms all that much. Most of us live in cities. And if someone was wandering through our fields spraying bubonic plague, I think that'd be a dead giveaway that there was some problem and it had to be resolved, because who's that guy in my field spraying my crops? So it has to be done in a different way. Something already in us, and bear in mind, your parents, let's say your mother or your grandmother, may have had spirochetes. It was passed on to your mother. It was passed on to you. You've had no pets, you've had no tick bites, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. What about your parents? What about your lineage? This thing is passed on person to person. Not that I'm telling you that that's my suspicion. That is what I've read in the research. So now you have MSG and spirochetes. The next thing is aspartame, and if you haven't already woke up to the situation that this is another horrible toxic substance to put into your body, artificial sweeteners of any kind are, now you've got a situation that is going to further take away the quality of your life. Historically, whenever our civilization has gotten to a point to where it could make a huge leap forward, something comes along and shuts it down somehow. Who does it? I don't know. Why are they doing it? I think it's obvious. What can be done about it? That is really the best question to ask. It doesn't matter who's doing it. What matters is how are they doing it and what can you do about it. So I'm going to take a couple minutes before we close out this show. I'm going to tell you some things you can do about this. It's not easy. It's not cheap. If you're concerned that you may have spirochetes in your blood, in your body, because they're not just in blood, they go to joints, they go to muscle tissue, they're body-wide. If you're concerned that you have this going on, then I suggest that you call Dr. Tom Lee. His phone number is area code 480-704-4616. That's a phone number that follows Tom around wherever he is. Now, what I'd suggest that you do, if you're suspecting or you're concerned, is call him up, tell him you heard this program, and that Jerry said that maybe you should have a blood test, maybe, and find out what his opinion is. His charge for his consultations, it's not a lot. If you decide to have a blood test, if I'm not mistaken, it's around $200, $250 for this blood test. But it will tell you for sure, at least for sure as far as my knowledge goes, it'll be a very good indicator. Let's put it that way. It'll be a very good indicator. Let's drop the for sure thing. It'll be a very good indicator if this is a condition you need to be concerned about or not. If you want to do something about it, about spirochetes in your system, then what I suggest that you do is take a look at Cemento as one resource that you can use that will help to move you in the right direction, let's say. Cemento is spelled S-A-M-E-N-T-O. And put a .com after that, and you'll probably find the website. If you want, you can order it from us. We usually have a good stock of it here. And you can reach us just by dropping an email, J, the initial J, at jerrywills.com, JerryWills.com. Inquire about that and anything else I may have that could help you, and we'll certainly do our best to give you the right advice. If we don't know the answer, we probably know someone who does. What about the gal who was using the cemento who also had the MS? Well, it seemed to help her. On the occasions that I saw her, she was able to walk where she wasn't able to before without the help of a cane or a walker. So it seemed to have made a difference. And in several other folks that I have suggested this to, it has helped them as well. One of the most profound things I noticed about cemento is how it left me feeling. I felt really good after a couple of days, maybe after a week of using it. I just had this peaceful feeling inside of me. It's very strong, very good, and it works very, very well. I'm impressed with it. I guess you can tell that already, huh? Another thing, if you want to make a difference in your life, think about the food that you're eating, the products that you're using. If it says natural flavorings or natural colorings, this sort of thing, chances are it's not natural in the way that you're hoping that it was. MSG is disguised within food and products under a litany of different descriptions. One of the reasons why we haven't been able to put our finger on everything that it's in is because of the way they keep changing the name of what they want to call it next. If you can avoid MSG, you're going to be doing yourself a big favor. The next thing, of course, artificial sweeteners. If you're using artificial sweeteners, I suggest that you stop. If you've been using them for a while, it's probably going to give you a headache. You're going to feel crappy for a few days. Get over it. Grow up. It's poison, of course. It has a mechanism in there that's designed to keep you wanting it. Shoot me again, please. Here, you need another bullet? Here's a dollar. Go buy some more bullets. Shoot me again, please. You don't need to do this to yourself. If you want to do something to change your life. Now, what about those folks I mentioned that were living like 100 years, 200 years, 600 years, so forth? I think that if we got the spirochetes out of our body, that we'd live long enough to figure out what the next thing was. I believe that the reason why we age, we grow old, get sick, and die is because the parasitic load in our body from spirochetes continues to increase year after year after year until it finally shuts down organs, causes problems here and there in the body until finally a body-wide failure occurs. If the spirochetes weren't there, it might be something else, I don't know, something else that was in. But at least if the spirochetes weren't there, I believe that we would have a better than halfway good chance of seeing two centuries instead of only seeing one. There's more to this story than I can go into in an hour. Things that you can do to improve your life, things you can do to improve your health. Because there's more than just getting rid of spirochetes, obviously. There's good nutrition, there's good water, there's clean air, there's food that's not genetically modified. There are a lot of different issues here, folks. But this is where we start. This is what we take a look at and say, I am going to make this change, and let's see where that leads me. I don't have a vested interest in Cemento. I just know that it works really well from my experience. There are other things that work well in conjunction with it. I just recently read about using salt tablets, of all things, and vitamin C. That was supplied by Robert Stanley of Unicus Magazine. I can pass that information on to you. The thing is, if we're all looking for research on something that may help to abate this issue, you might be the one that finds something that's added to something that someone else found, that's added to something that I found. That when all put together, it's going to equal something that gives us all a greater benefit. It doesn't matter who's doing it to us. It doesn't matter. What matters is what are we going to do about it now that we know. Perhaps you don't know this yet within yourself, within your consciousness, within your intellect, that this is an issue. I challenge you to go and read and do the research and find out for yourself if this is interesting to you. You come up with your own concept of this, and if it's wildly different than what I've told you, let me know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't say that I'm absolutely right about things that often. I'd be interested in hearing from you about this and any subject that we've spoken of here on this program this evening. Finally, there are some of you that are interested in psychics. I want to tell you of one person that I know who is absolutely phenomenal. Get ready to write down a phone number and a name. Her name is Sandy Rosson, R-O-S-S-O-N. Sandy is phenomenal, just amazing. I highly endorse her. Not because she's a good friend. She's a good friend because she is so capable. That's how I got to know her to begin with. She just blew my socks off. Her phone number is 888-976-8989. If you need her phone number and couldn't jot it down, send me an email. J@jerrywills.com. I'll be happy to forward her phone number to you. All right, that's a wrap. That's the end of this program. I hope that it's been beneficial. I'm hoping that you've enjoyed it, and I'm hoping that everything works out, that I'm able to do the next one, because this one was certainly a challenge. Well, with the traveling and all the things going on. Until next time, I wish you all well. I wish you all peace, happiness, and remember, an act of kindness is never wasted. Until next time, I'm Jerry Wills. Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to a Blind Broadcasting Service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.